You're very welcome to the show tonight. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week and standout with myself, Ian O'Connell, is Radio Kerry presenter Dermot Moriarty. Dermot has his own music show Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday evenings. This year, Dermot will be celebrating 33 years working in Radio Kerry, which means that he is one of the longest members of staff working in the station all the way since 1990. Sit back and enjoy the show. Dermot, thanks so much for coming in today now. How are you keeping?
Come here. I'm absolutely delighted. I'm delighted to be here on radio, number one. But to be with you is a bonus to me. And I'm so delighted that you asked me to be a part of your programme. Because this weekend, of course, sees my 33 years on Radio Kerry, the longest member on air. And I'm just delighted. I can't understand where the 33 years went, but they went and they're here. And I have had some great times on radio and I've met some wonderful people. I was here in this Killarney studio one day and I knew that Gene Watson was, he's a famous country singer from Houston in Texas. I knew he was in the INEC, so I brought in some of his stuff with me. I was going to be playing him anyway. And the next thing, he and the Irish agent walked in the door and he spent a half hour with me and I just couldn't believe it. I had met him before in Nashville. I got a Greyhound bus out of Nashville to Chattanooga where he was playing. And it was a big open air theme park. So I made my way to the stage because I saw the tour bus there and he was there and I was chatting with him. And when he realized that I was Irish, well, he mentioned to me from the stage then, and he came along and he gave me a Gene Watson hat and a T-shirt. And he said, show up in Music Row tomorrow. I'm doing a television program. So I went there anyway. They were waiting for me. And because of I being Irish, it was just wonderful. But my time on radio, I know you want to know how did it all happen. Well,
and what was it like growing up, Dermot, I suppose, when you were, say, I suppose, a young child or even like young man, say, my age, was music always, say, in the family when you were growing up?
Very much so. My mother and father had a speaker going to the room that I was sleeping in at home. And they would wake me at 8:45 every Saturday morning to hear Pascal Mooney on a radio program on RTE1. That's all that was there at the time. And I got into it. And in 1971, there was a band being started in this area, the Country Rangers.
Yeah.
And I had sang a song outside at a Pretty Polly social. I was working there in the Gleneagle. And someone said, maybe, you know, we'll give him a chance anyway. So Mike Fitzgerald, Sean Finton, Batty Healy and Mike Grady were starting a band. But I had to audition. The audition was in the front seat of a Hillman Hunter and I singing away between Killarney and Borodove. And then by the time we got to Borodove, they said, yeah, you're in the band. So there was a guy called Dennis Fenton then. He's sadly no longer with us. He drove the car that we had, that we were using for his car, MIN 160, a Hillman Hunter. He bought it off Billy Daly in Killarney Autos and we had a trailer on it, which was the back end of a Morris Minor van. We had sliced it, panelled it and put on a tow bar. And that's how it all started and it moved on from there. And well, that was 1971. And then I came along after that and
Was there a man, Mike Fitzgerald, in that band or was that a different
Mike Fitzgerald, yeah.
He's Corkman, isn't he?
He has a fine gig himself over in Knocknagree. He's still in music and he's going to stay at it as long as he can. But it was people like him that probably gave me the start. And then after a while, myself and Sean Bronston here in Killarney, we started a two-piece. I think the Gleneagle asked us if we would be interested in doing some work there, and we did. And we started a two-piece called Gypsy Fever, and we did 7 nights a week from April to November, and then 4 nights a week from there on, and the years just flew with Sean Ralston. And we recorded a song called Hometown on the File, and then we recorded, after that, then Pascal Mooney made contact, and he said, I'm doing a show live from the Dome in Tralee for the Festival of Kerry. Now, he said, this is live, so there is no mistakes. Would you be interested in going on? But he said he needed a new song, so I made contact with Dennis Allen, and Dennis wrote Killarney My Dreams, and that is 40 years ago.
Go away.
And we sang the song in it live. I mean, if you made a mistake, bye-bye. But we got through it anyway, and I think after that thing, I was sitting at home one day with my mother and father having my dinner as we used to do it at 1:30 in the day. And Larry Grogan was going through Ireland's top 20 and the new entries. And he said, first time into our charts, Dermot Moriarty, Killarney, My Dreams, he played it. We put down our knives and forks, and my mother and father were in tears, and I didn't know what to do after that. I just couldn't believe it that we had made the charts. But anyway, everything, we did the BB show a few times, and we did a few more shows as well. But there's one thing I must remind you and our listeners. We were due to be on Live at 3 with Derek Davis and Thelma Mansfield. And sorry, that was a different band. That was the Kerry Cowboys after that. But we were to be on Live at 3 anyway. I had a six-piece band with the Kerry Cowboys. That started in 1987 with Nixie Tangney, Basil Hendricks, Joe Quinlan.
He was the guitarist, Basil Hendricks.
Yeah, a steel player as well, and a record producer. Yeah, you have it. Joe Quinlan, Tom O'Sullivan, and Ted Maloney. And we were to be on Live at 3, but because I was involved in Southwest Radio, which was an illegal radio station, if you think of it as it being an illegal radio station, it wasn't, because there was no license at the time, so you had to be there or not. But anyway, some person decided to ring Live at 3 and to tell them that I was involved in an illegal radio station. So we were to be on, I think, on a Thursday, and they made contact with our agent, who was managing the band for us up in Kildare. And they made contact with him saying that because of my involvement with a radio station, they couldn't allow us on.
Go away.
Yeah, but that was fine. We didn't take any notes of it. But the agent, Bob Condon, got a phone call the week after, and from the Sunday World, because they had heard about it, I presume somebody had told him. And instead of being on Live at 3, we got a half page in the Sunday World. The heading was, RTE gives Cowboys the boot.
Go away.
Because the name of the band was the Kerry Cowboys.
Kerry Cowboys, yeah.
Oh my God, lads. We had wonderful times. And with the band, we'll talk about radio in a while. With the band, then we used to go to England, to the Galtee Moor, the Hibernian, Fulham, Foresters and Tooting, Halfway House in Ealing. And, you know, everywhere we used to go was a long journey.
Yeah.
I remember getting into a transit van with the lads one day. I took a half day from work at Killarney Autos. We were going to a gig in the Donegal Derry border, and we piled into a transit and we headed off. I was back for work the following day, but everywhere we went was a long journey because of where we were based. And eventually, you know, you would say, have we enough with life?
Yeah.
And, you know, things were changing anyway.
It's a lot of travelling.
And things were changing. Then the Galtee War was changing. The Irish people weren't in England going out as much as they used to. And, I mean, the thousands of people that we entertained down through the years, they were all fading away and getting kind of older. But anyway, this great radio station, Radio Kerry, started in 33 years, and that's when I got the call probably about a month beforehand to know would I be interested in doing a country music program.
Did you jump straight in, or did you think about it?
I thought about it.
Did you?
For 10 seconds.
Go away.
I said, yes, I'll be there.
You knew.
And I'm delighted, absolutely. The people I have met, but, you know, not clapping myself in the back, the people that I have entertained down through the years that have made contact with me and how important it is. And, you know, when I realize these things most is when I would go to a funeral and the people would say about the person that had passed on, they listen to you all the time.
What does that mean? This.
Oh, it means an awful lot to me, because when I was working in Killarney Autos, I was running and racing. I was running against the clock constantly because I was too busy, you know. And I remember one day in particular that I opened the shop, the garage at Killarney Autos, and I did my 96. And then I locked up at 6:15. It was my week to lock up. Locked up at 6:15. Radio Kerry, 7:00 until 9:00. Ballygarry House, this is the same day, Ballygarry House in the evening to do MC and a few songs at a launch of a CD, belonged to Noreen Ash. Did that. Left Ballygarry House Hotel at Tralee and was on stage at the Falls Hotel in Innisdiamon at 1 a.m. All in one day. I said, this has to stop.
You'd want a helicopter.
You would, but this has to stop. I mean, it was...
It would take a toll on you after a while.
It would. And you see, you're missing out our child at home, like Sinead. We've only one child.
Yeah.
And she's 25. But I say, if you don't stop, she'll be 15. She'll be 18. Yeah. Then she'll be 20. Because I know several entertainers and band people. And only for COVID, they would never have seen their daughter or son at 3 years of age, at five, communion, confirmation. Because I'm going to be all the time. But anyway, look, I'm still at it. I do a bit in the INEC and I do a Radio Curry concert as well when I'm asked. But otherwise, come here to me. It has been something really special.
Yeah.
And what I always say is when I'm signing off, especially on a Thursday, I want to thank the people for allowing me to share my music with them, because the music that I have been collecting down through the years, it makes Radio Kerry different for Sounds Country, because the what I have collected, not a lot of people would have it, you see, so yeah, that makes a difference. Anyway, it's time now for you to talk to
no,
me.
No,
yeah, listen, you're doing great work here. It's so entertaining. I mean, to hand over to you on a Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock, it is just something else. To hear you starting and to talk to people that you have met. I mean, that Dublin footballer a week back, you know
Bernie
what I mean?
Rock, yeah.
My gosh.
It's great.
You're
obviously 33 years and I'm sure you're probably still learning something new every time you go on.
You do, yeah.
On here. And like we were saying there, actually, just to... Before we went on air, Fiona Stackbehind, she's a brilliant woman.
Wonderful.
And
woman.
She gave me the opportunity to go on air, so I must be doing something right that I'm still back there.
But what you're doing is absolutely super. I mean, to face people and talk to people that you know about them, but
yeah,
never met. I mean, most of your programs are probably over the phone with people like you know, that Dublin footballer.
Yeah,
like,
they're up the country.
I presume that whoever you ask are delighted to come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say that nobody says not now.
No.
But maybe another day if
Absolutely.
There was something happening like. But I mean.
And if they did say another day, they always keep to their word. They would. How important do you think, I suppose radio in general, but I suppose specifically Radio Kerry, and I'm sure when you do your show, you see frequent... people texting in, the same people, you recognise the names, you build kind of a community. How important do you think local radio like Radio Kerry is for people at home, maybe that are, I suppose, living at home, that might meet a lot of people during the day? Because it's like you're in their house. How important do you think that is to communicate with
it's
people?
Very important. Well, I feel great about it, and yeah, I'm sure they do as well, because... They could be going through the channels forever and trying to find something. And when they find something, then they realize that that's half it gone. And it might have been of no interest to many. So they can sit back, read a paper, and listen to you on radio, listen to people on Radio Kerry. Now, I don't have the facilities I used to have, like taking requests and stuff, because Margaret didn't come back after COVID. So I'm on my own. And the only way really that people can get to me is by post, because... Computers and I, we don't agree with each other. I know, is it their fault or mine?
We'll blame them.
And you said to me the other day, your phone, I don't have a mobile. I have access to a mobile,
yeah,
but I don't have one myself. And so you'll never see me with one in my back pocket, or you
yeah,
won't see me walking down Plunkett Street. I'll hold it up to my face and talking to myself, because I think that time is so valuable.
And that's
that
the
you
thing
can
with
do something
people,
with it. Yeah.
You are, and I'm guilty of it myself, and...
Yeah.
On the phone, I was actually watching her name yesterday morning, and they done a study on young people. Like my little cousin, she's just gone five, and mm-hmm, she can use a phone better than myself.
Yeah.
And in one way,
yeah,
it's scary, like, you
it
know,
is, yeah,
for young people.
It is, yeah.
For young people like that. A question I wanted to ask you, and I was only thinking about it the last day. Do you ever, over the many years you were on here, do you ever just stop and think, how many songs have I played?
I haven't, but on a night, it's probably 23 to 25. And when I started first on Radio Kerry, I used to do Sunday mornings as well. I did three evenings a week and Sunday mornings. So when you do 25 songs over a program, sometimes if there wasn't a lot of ads, you could end up doing 28. And when you add that all up, frightening. It has to be frightening. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. Like, when you sit back and you do...
I was only thinking of it, like...
Oh, my God, I never thought of it, actually. I never did a count. But the Sunday mornings were brilliant, but I found that my Saturday night was gone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it.
And there was a time then that I would have to go to the studio in Tralee to do the programs. But I'm glad the studio is here in Canada, because it's less complicated than...
It's a gift.
It is a gift, it's but unreal. It's less complicated as well, yeah, for somebody that doesn't know nothing about a mouse.
That's, you know, it.
And I know nothing about these things.
No, like, no, it's so, yeah, it's so straight. And yeah, I think a lot of people, and even I was guilty of it myself before I started in radio. I always used to, the likes of even our own Brendan Fuller there sitting outside the window, I always thought you just rock up and you go straight on air. Mm. But like for a lot of shows, it's mad, the research that's going to it, and
yeah, yeah,
and everything. My mom and dad, you know, my
of
father.
Course, yes, indeed, very well.
They love country western and Mike Denver and Declan, yeah, Ernie and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I suppose I grew up with my dad listening to it, mm-hmm, and I love the kind of songs, The Gambler, mm-hmm, and all mm-hmm them songs. Do you have mm-hmm any specific favorite song that you like, whether it be new or old?
I suppose if I had time to think about it, there would be some.
Or an artist, Giovanni.
Well, an artist, of course. I mean, if you go to stateside anyway, it has to be Gene Watson. And people tell me Gene Watson, George Strait, and Alan Jackson, and all these wonderful people. Then here at home, like, I think my first record was a Big Tom record, and I still have a lot of that stuff. But there are some fine, fine entertainers in this country. But unfortunately, some radio stations, because they don't know that person, they just don't play. My intention is, and it always has been, if it's a good recording and the artist is a good singer,
yeah,
play the artist, give them a break, something will click eventually. I mean, some radio stations just play a country program, like they'll just play the same three or four and they don't bother with the people who have spent money in recording, and there are several of those people, and I look after them people well, because if you go to trouble of recording and spending a lot of money, I mean, some recording studios could charge you 1,200 or 1,500 euro for one song. It's a lot. It's a lot, but it'll be done properly. I mean, there is some Mickey Mouse stuff as well that come out, and you know, if it's going to upset your program,
yeah,
and if it's going to the problem is that if you're going to play George Strait and some other fella is next to him, he'll sound terrible, yeah, because of the quality of the other fella. So you kind of have to line it up that way, you know, not to give the newcomer that wouldn't have a lot of money spent in recording. If you want to treat him fair, you don't put him on after one of the big stars who has paid thousands. So you put him on after a break. It doesn't, you know, you don't break him then. Yeah. You know what I mean? Let him down.
And I suppose you probably helped a lot of artists, newcomers during the year, I suppose, get their name and their song.
Well,
I hope
I have. It was my intention anyway, do you know what I mean? And all of these people are wonderful people, but some people, and I don't know, should I say this, some people that you helped all the way along the line, and they went from rung number 2 to number 8.
Yeah.
And now they might salute you if they meet you, but they'd have a few words with you, like, I mean. But I think COVID brought a lot of these people back to reality again. And 100%. Unfortunately, someone never went back on the road.
How was COVID for you, say, on air? Did you find...
I didn't find anything different because I was on my own here in the studio.
The JNLRs that come up, did you see or did you presume that, I suppose it's kind of inevitable that the listeners went up during COVID, do you think?
Of course they did, yeah. I mean, only for local radio, like Radio Kerry.
Yeah.
I mean, the people living on their own, in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's for them people, radio is important, because they don't watch TV. And if they do, there's something on it that they have to follow it every week to see what's happening. Didn't follow me. But on the radio, it's different, because they can sit back. They can do whatever they need to do, like reading a paper, reading the Farmer's Journal, whichever the case may be, and they can listen to the music as well. And that's what makes the difference. I mean, if you're watching TV, you glue into it and watch it. And sometimes you have to put on the subtitles to see what it's all about, because...
With radio, you could be pottering around the house doing jobs, exactly, like, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And I think it was someone in Radio Kerry, I forget who it was, we were only talking there the last day, and we said the presenters like us is one of the jobs, but we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the listeners tuning in.
That's
like,
right, yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people kind of look at it that way.
You see, if you don't have listeners, you don't get advertising either. Yeah. I mean, Sean Riley is a perfect example. He was off during COVID, and he come on late on a Sunday night, and it was very important for people. Yeah. And it still is important for people. Sean Holliday was the same, but sadly he is no longer with us. And he was
an absolute gentleman.
Oh, absolutely. And to see, he knew what to do and when to do it, because it's important to know that as well. Because he knew that the audience that he had, he had to mind them and kept doing what he was doing and made it better and better and better.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing about it is, I know people on that were on radio stations, and somebody new then came in as a manager or producer and had a listen to this fella.
And you can change it around.
Where did he come from? Do you know? Because he wasn't doing what he thought should be doing. But he had his own audience.
Like, yeah.
And a very important audience, because Margot's concert recently, she was celebrating her 72nd birthday or something. And the amount of people over 60s, they have to be entertained.
Yeah.
I remember one person in particular, somebody put up a request for him. And she said this to Margot, and she read it out. There's a man, if you look down to your right, Margot, there's a man there. He's celebrating his 90th birthday. Sing a song for him, a particular song. She got a radio mic. She went down the steps, sat next to him, sang the song. The band didn't even know she was going to sing it. And he sang the chorus. And his daughter, I think his daughter, videoed it. I mean, them people have to be entertained.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that's the proof of the pudding. Like,
that's a good example.
And, you know,
as well,
she stayed there then meeting people and taking pictures. Where another artist, and I will not name him, I was between the box office at the INEC and reception in that hallway. And this guy, he was out to doing his show, and he took a few pictures. He was gotten out there.
That's the difference.
I mean, he should go to a Daniel O'Donnell program, and he should go to Margot's show as well, and he'd see, you know what I mean? But anyway, look, some people have it. Some people have great talent, but they might be nervous at the end.
That's
they may
it.
Not be able to face people. It's nothing that they did out of the way. They just couldn't do it, you know. They couldn't stand talking to people for 2 or 3 hours. But anyway, that's all that anyway, and that's the end of the rant.
No, you're dead right, though. My last concert before COVID was in the Glen. I was Derek Ryan with my dad, but we went out after, and he was there, and he took pictures with
the
rake people, and I think that's the difference between, I suppose, one artist and the other. People will remember you for staying with and taking pictures and entertaining.
That's right, yeah.
What I wanted to say is, and I don't know would you agree, but over the last couple of years, I suppose there's kind of traditional old Irish music. But do you think over the last couple of years, and there are certain artists that their country music is kind of going next to like light pop, and it's kind of, do you notice it changing over the last couple of years from old Irish music?
I do, most definitely.
There's a
kind of something after changing the last couple of years. Young people are into folk and ballads.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see the Wolftones selling out the INEC at 3,500 people, and these guys are in their late 70s, early 80s. And young people want to see the Wolftones, they want to see the Dublin City Ramblers, they want to see all these new folk and ballad bands.
Yeah. The Whistling Donkeys, they're kind of coming on the scene a lot, aren't they?
Yeah, very much on the scene.
Yeah.
I know that when they appeared first at the Gleneagle, Fiona O'Connor was amazed. It just packed the place. And they're doing fierce business. But there's a lot of other bands like them that have started. I know Patrick O'Sullivan's son, Connor, and Connor Moriarty, they have started a folk and ballad band. I just can't remember the name now, but another band that are up and coming. So the country is still strong. Country music is still strong. But the folk and ballad thing is really, really going well at the minute.
And over the last couple of years, you've met and chatted to a lot of, singers from the Irish country.
Most definite.
And American. What was it like, playing them for the last 33 years and then getting a chance to face and talk to them? What was that like?
Well, it kind of happened gradually, you know, that they wanted a bit of extra attention. So they said they'd come on and chat with the radio presenter, whether it be me or whoever else, you know, just to lift. They were going well, but they wanted another lift. And I mean, Nathan Carter is one person like that. You know, only for Wagon Wheel, it would never have happened. And that song has been hanging around forever.
I'd love to see how many plays that has over there.
Oh, yeah. Country. And he still has to do it. And he's still a big attraction. And he is a very, very nice man. And his management and his band, they're just lovely people.
Really?
Because sometimes when you get so high in the business, your mind goes away. You don't become nasty, but your mind goes a different direction.
So important trying to stay grounded, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You're trying to cope with every success, you see. That's the problem. Like, but I have, I've met a lot of people and I have spoken to a lot of big country stars from America. I remember Hal Ketchum was coming to Ireland to do a concert, and his agent made contact with Radio Kerry in Tralee, and they made contact with me to know what I have him on. And he passed away since, but he had a passed a pint to rescue, as you know. But I said to him, I said, what time is it in Nashville? And the answer was, I've no idea, man. I'm sitting here on my porch with a dog and a bottle of Bud. Hit the care in the world. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing,
dog? Care in the world. Like, and I could picture exactly what he was doing. But you know, in my visits to Nashville as well, I met some wonderful people. And they always make contact and they always send on CDs and send on music and stuff. But talking about CDs, as you know now, they're slipping away. They're not selling as much anymore.
Yeah.
And that is a pity. And for some reason, all motor distributors decided to take the CDs out of their cars from time to time. And I mean, people have thousands and hundreds of CDs. But I know somebody who ordered a new car recently, and they'll have it in August, and they were asked, do they want a CD?
Go away.
And they said they didn't know it was available. It is €80 extra. Inside, it's put into the glove box and it's controlled from the radio. So what I would say to people is, I was in Killarney Autos for 40 years until almost 5 years ago. You know, it might be available if you ask.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, I mean, I know another fella, he had a CD player in his glove box. He never knew it was there for 12 months because everything else was put in top of it. So it probably still is available, but you ask for it when you're ordering your car. But if your car is in stock and it doesn't have it, well, that's a different story then.
I never knew that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Yourself, obviously, or couple of years ago, and what's the story now? Obviously, when you started, it was all kind of tapes and CDs, was it?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Is it, what's it like now? Is it all digital coming from the computers? Are you gone from CDs?
Gone from CDs and the stick. What do you call that thing?
Would you call a USB stick?
Yeah.
Would you rather still be doing it with CDs now?
I would.
Would you?
I would, but there's a guy outside there in Park Road, and I don't know what his business is. He had something to do with that stuff. And sometimes I would drop him a half dozen CDs and he'd put them on a stick for me.
Go away.
He's there next to the Chinese.
I know where you're on.
Yeah. I mean, for small money, you know, you have a stick then. And somebody in Dublin then who'd be listening to my radio a lot, he sent me a stick. There's 6,600 songs on it.
Go away.
Imagine that. I presume you'd know more than me. You could do that from home with a laptop, could you?
Yeah. And you can kind of, as well, if there was a song on YouTube, you'd be able to burn it onto a CD as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's unreal the way it can be done.
Yeah.
Do you think that country music lately, it's attracting more younger people?
It was.
Yeah.
The folk and ballad now is taking over from that again. And thankfully, the 35-year-old is still going to the country dances, you know what I mean? But in 10 years from now, he'll be 45. So what happens at that point, we don't know. But should we taught all that before and it was falling apart and then it lifted again, you know? I mean, people like Nathan Carter and Derek Ryan and people like that can give it a new lift because young people like yourself, Ian, you know, you mentioned Derek Ryan there.
Yeah.
When you hear a song from him and Nathan Carter and Kieran Rossi, and there's heaps of them out there, when you hear a song that's going to strike you as a nice song, you're going to go and see that artist.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But the problem with that artist is to get airplay. Because, as I mentioned earlier, some radio stations, they kind of go with the named artists who are big stars. And the young fella starting off, or young lady starting off, she doesn't get her break.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because, and it's natural enough, like, that you play all the well-known artists, but I am different because I want to give them
the opportunity. Yeah,
exactly. And I do that from time to time. I do it all the time, actually, because if it's a good recording and if it's a good song, looking after them people, because they could be the next Nathan Carter.
Absolutely, and yep. I think that's yep. very important. I yep. don't know, was it you or was it someone else, Sam, before you used to play a segment for people at home to jive? Was that
that's
you?
That's me.
That's yeah. you, was it? What's that
Every
about?
Tuesday evening, I decided during COVID that people might want to jive. So yeah. I do three songs on a Tuesday evening after 7 to get them jiving. And then about 15 years ago, there's a man called Michael Duggan and his wife Siobhan. They're down the Healy Pass, and it's probably 12 or 15 years ago, and he said to me, why don't you do 3 waltzes some night, he said, so the people that don't go out might waltz, and it's the highlight of the week.
Really?
7:30 on a Wednesday evening, it's the highlight of the week. People are standing waiting to go waltzing, and I just play
3
songs in a row, and you know, you connect better with your people as yeah. well, you know, and they'd let you know then they liked it, and you know, they drop you a line. Dan Horn, Horner's Fruit and Veg, right?
Yeah, I had him on the show there last year.
He was great with you.
Lovely man.
But he would give me a list from time to time, you know, of different songs he'd like to hear at 7:30, because he can connect with them
yeah.
and their songs he know, because a lot of them old time waltzes, do you know what I do as well? They'd be older songs, so a lot of people would connect with them. I, on a Wednesday as well, I pick out some vinyl and I would play a couple of songs on record, because I have a record player in the studio yeah. here. And I know that Alan Finn, sometimes if he was listening and he'd hear a bit of static, he could say, damn it, I don't think you should play that anymore. But anyway, he does listen out there. But they'd be cracking away mad. But the reason they're cracking is because they were overplayed by me at home anyway.
Yeah.
And the person listening understands that and even likes it better because of that. They know that it's a beauty, and I think that the way the station is set up, that all the cracking that I hear
yeah.
doesn't actually go out on
air.
There
yeah.
are boosters or flatters yeah. or whatever the case may be. And Trevor, of course, Trevor is in charge of that. But I mean, Declan Ernie told me once that this radio station has one of the best sounds of any radio station in the country.
Go
he said
away.
The sound out of Radio Kerry is unbelievable. And Trevor and everybody else involved. And that is important, because if you have a dodgy sound on your radio,
listeners, that'll drive them mad at home.
They'll go some other way.
Yeah. You just one or two more things. You emcee a lot of the Radio Kerry concerts.
I do, especially in Killarney.
How important do you think they are?
They're very important.
Yeah.
They're very important because people meet people that they haven't met before, and they see artists that they may not get the opportunity to go to. I don't travel as much anymore now to... I'd prefer if it was in Killarney, it would be handier for me, but
yeah.
Billy Donegan arranges all these, and sometimes they're in Ballywood, and it may not be easy for me to get there on the particular night. And sometimes, most of the time, it is a Wednesday evening, so I would have to leave home at 4:30 in the day to be over at 6 to do my radio program. And again, my radio program, not being in the studio, is different because I can't play my CDs. And then I do the MC from 8 o'clock and from 4:30 to 1 a.m. You know, it's a long day.
It is.
And I feel uncomfortable because I cannot play my radio songs.
Yeah.
Because you have to hand them in to the studio in Tralee in advance, and they'll play them for you.
Get them ready.
They'll get them ready, yeah. But they're playing them on air. It's different here. Sit down, put in your CDs and play away. And, you know, it's easier for me. But anyway, we'll do a few more anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, as I said, 33 years, it's a long time. And there would be other people that probably should have been here that long, but passed away. And COVID stopped them in their tracks, and they had to take a break then. But thankfully, I stayed with it, and I intend to stay with it as long as the man above lets me.
That's it.
And if he lets me continue, I will. It'll be Sounds Country all the way. All the way.
No, get here, India.
Yeah.
I actually dug it out there from before we came on air, and I might play it at the end as well, if you don't mind. The song that was written about you. Going back to Declan Ernie, was it?
Declan Ernie recorded it. Billy Morrissey wrote it.
What was that like? That must have been some...
That was something. That was called Kerry's Country King. And
it's
that
very
was,
catchy.
Oh, yeah. And for 30 years on the radio, they wrote the song. And Declan Ernie is bringing out a new album in the next couple of weeks, and he's including that on it. Because to sit back and listen to Declan Ernie singing a song about me, it will bring a tear to a glass eye, because I can tell you something, it was so perfect. It was all about what I had been doing, and I loved it, and I have copies of it at home. And our own radio station here, of course, played it off the air because people wanted to hear it. And I was so proud, and I was so, so happy that somebody went to Billy Morrissey, went to the trouble of writing the song, and Declan Nunney recorded it. And I'm sure if someone else was asked to record it, they would as well.
But yeah,
the first time that he was asked, he said, most definite. And he went to a lot of trouble and a lot of money as well. I mean, when you go to studios like Jonathan Owen's studio, you're going to a top-class studio, and you're going to get an end result that you're going to be proud of.
Yeah.
And I was very proud of that, absolutely. Yeah.
And I always ask my guests, whether it be musicians or sports people or anybody that I interview, do you have any standout moment in your, I suppose, music career or radio career so far? And would that song, would it be up there? Do you have any standout one, or even a gig that you went to? Do you have any standout bit?
I suppose a gig that I went to, on one, we did the Galtimore on several times, but
yeah,
we went at it Christmas time at one particular point in time. Now, the Galtimore, I'm almost sure, had three different parts to it, but there was only one front door, right? There was 8,000 people went in that door one night that I was playing there with the Kerry Cowboys. Now, there was probably 3,000 in one, 2,000 in another, and we had the rest, or the other way around, it didn't matter. And to see people happy and to see crowds like that. Oh yeah, one thing I must say, that Rita and I would go to the West End restaurant from time to time, because I'm talking about the Galtimore.
Yeah.
We would go to the West End restaurant with Joseph and Adele had it. And the young man behind the bar was Michael Fassbender, because his parents owned it. And Joseph said to me one night, he said, Michael is going to England. He said he wants to learn to become an actor. And he could play his accordion, he said, and he could work in a bar. Do you know anywhere that he could get a job in a bar? I said, leave it with me. And I rang Michael, that owns the Galtimore in Cricklewood. I said, Michael, there's a young man going over to train to be an actor, and he plays accordion as well. He'd love to work in a bar if you could fix him up. His name is Michael Fassbender. And he said, send him on, he said, and I'll give him a job. Michael never showed up, because Michael probably was too far from where he was living.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is a story that I will never forget. Michael was behind the bar, and his father asked me, could I get him a job in the bar?
And look at him now.
And look at him now. Exactly.
Unbelievable stuff.
Unbelievable stuff. It was as simple as that, and I will never forget it. I mean, people say it couldn't be. It was. He was a barman, but his mother and father's restaurant in below in the West End in New Street.
Small
the actor, they have an actor's place upstairs, they're now in the same place. Yeah.
Dermot, thanks so much for coming on now, and I appreciate your time. And I suppose I say for myself and from everyone in Radio Kerry listeners, congratulations on the 33 years, because it's some achievement. And like you said, you'll keep at it.
Yeah, the 33 years and the 40 years since Killarney My Dream is number two in the charts. But if it's okay, I want to mention that there's a gig out in Gleneagle,
yeah,
for me on the 28th of October, which is a Saturday, bank holiday Saturday night. It's a dance in the ballroom. So Patrick O'Sullivan will be there with a band. T.R. Dallas will be there. Louise Morrissey will be there. There's Paddy O'Brien will be there. And Bernie Heaney will be there. Neely O'Connell will be there. Paddy McAuliffe, Shades of Country, When the Robins Come Home. It's going to be a great night. Saturday, 28th of October, at the Gleneagle Ballroom. One night, for one night only. Super.
That's the job. And I'll mention that again closer to the time on the show. Dermot, thanks a million.
And thank you so much. I really enjoyed this.
Appreciate
and
it.
Best of luck to you and your mum and dad as well. And thank you for everything.
Thanks, Dermot. Now, unfortunately, that's always time for tonight, guys. I hope you all enjoyed the show, and I appreciate you tuning in to me and listening to Radio Kerry as always. A massive thanks to Dermot for coming in tonight and having a chat about his own, I suppose his own life story and what he's been through from growing up in the music industry and what it was like growing up when he was young and, you know, music in the household. And it was very interesting to talk to him because, as I say, he's over 40 years on air altogether, and he's been working here in Radio Kerry with 33 years. This year he'll be marking that. As always, you can get in contact with me throughout my Instagram, enoconnell321, or you can drop me an email on my work email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. I hope you're all having a great week so far. I'll be back at the same time next week from 8 to 9pm. Until then, stay safe and mind yourself.
Sounds Country, Dermot Moriarty with you for the next couple of hours, and thank you for joining us this evening, and I hope you will enjoy.
There's a man in County Kerry, Moriarty is his name, a man of many talents and a DJ of great fame. He plays great country music, ballads and kiddy, for 30 years on radio, a friend to you and me. So here's to you, Dermot, may you reign for 30 more. Keep the music going, sure you've knowledge in great store. When they write the book of country and Irish music fame, proudly with the finest will be written your own name.
Always requested on Sounds Country down through the years, Paddy O'Brien, one of his songs on the way.
He played the best of music to listeners far and wide, from Dingle to Killarney and many a place besides. All listen to Sounds Country in towns big and small, at home or far across the sea, they hear the music call. So here's to you, Dermot, may you reign for 30 more. Keep the music going, sure you've knowledge in great store. When they write the book of country and Irish music fame, proudly with the finest will be written your own name.
That was a beautiful song from Mick Flavin, and we got some requests. I will get to them as the evening moves on. Thank you.
Plays Big Tom and Margot, Three Amigos and Philly too, Daniel, Nathan, Trudy, DJ and the Kerry Blues. All our country heroes he plays, old and new, Mike Denver, Michael English, Derek Ryan and me too. So here's to you, Dermot, may you reign for 30 more. Keep the music going, sure you've knowledge in great store. When they write the book of country and Irish music fame, proudly with the finest will be written your own name.
Got some requests for Jerry Guthrie and for PJ Murray on the programme this evening.
There's Oakie from Muskogee and the streets of Biggersfield. I know I love you, the gambler and the deal. All these songs and the stories that make our lives complete. Thank you for the music, now we're walking down Happy Street. So here's to you, Dermot, may you reign for 30 more. Keep the music going, sure you've knowledge in great store. When they write the book of country and Irish music fame, proudly with the finest will be written your own name. Short Dermot Murray, R.A.T., your Kerry's country king.
Okay, that's about it from me for this evening. Thank you for your company from Sounds Country and myself, Dermot Moriarty. And thank you for listening. And bye-bye.